Hello and welcome to Men in Charge. I'm Kevin Decker.
And I'm Tony Flynn. Today's episode is a disturbing and upsetting one, and Kevin and I have been chafing over it for some time. It's called the All-Ann episode. Because, to my shame, and this is a problem that Kevin created for us, the entire episode, everything, was written by Ann Porter.
This is disturbing, Tony, because this is the first episode in which neither one of us has written anything.
Right.
And you allowed this to happen is the funniest thing.
I think what happened is you took a break.
Well,
you paused. Be quiet, Ann.
Wait a second. I don't see a problem with everything being about me.
Well, we're not blaming you. We're blaming Tony here.
I think
Tony's
we're blaming Kevin.
Self-recriminatory.
Yeah, I just think I should finish explaining who the interloper is here.
Yeah.
Ann Porter, a Sandpoint artist, has started writing very funny scripts and Kevin at least cringed away and felt decided to just sleep in, right?
Well, yeah. At first I said, it's Men in Charge, for God's sake. Men in Charge. I mean, that's part of the title. So
It's who we are.
Right. But, you have to take credit for having brought Ann in as part of the cast and gotten her thinking about writing scripts and therefore kind of taking, let's face it, some of the burden off you.
Well, actually, a lot of the burden. Thanks, Ann. No, thank you for that. But what you did, Ann, as a result, was discourage Kevin from producing anything anymore. And me. But I blame Kevin for that.
Well, why don't you introduce Ann, and we'll see what happens after that.
Ann Porter, wildly esteemed artist from Sandpoint, who works in many media, sculpture, stained glass, painting, photography. Did I forget any?
You probably forgot a few, but let's just move forward and talk about why you haven't been writing more scripts.
Well, okay, we could.
Yeah.
It's good. I think, let's return to the true source of the problem. Kevin, what have you been doing in your spare time since you've turned over all the writing to Ann?
Well, I've been working on crocheting with natural elements like vines and bark.
I've been creating essential oils.
Well, that's good. I hope in a lab and not like from your body.
No, it's from my body.
Oh,
right.
It is. Okay.
But I have a lot of them, and then you distill it down to only one vat.
Right. And thanks for bringing up what have you been doing in your spare time, because as you know, I've been doing community service with the kids to pay off all those parking tickets I've had. So
yeah,
that's
true.
A painful
community
reminder.
Service. But the ankle bracelet comes off soon.
Well, I've been taking it off, quite frequently or whatever. It's
so fun. That you could go out and do the community service.
Exactly. Yeah. They didn't build that in.
Well, Kevin, I'm glad that you're reconciled to your errors. But I'd like to say I'm proud to have been the one who turned you in.
Well, okay. Now I'm finding this out.
Did I speak that aloud?
Yeah. Great.
I'm sorry.
We're supposed to be actually saying positive things about Ann.
But you and I both feel diminished by her contributions.
It's partially emasculating, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Whoops. No, fully
no,
emasculating.
Fully emasculating.
I checked. Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the scripts that Ann has written today. Ann, our first sketch today was written apparently by you.
It was written by me,
yes.
As were all of them.
Javanka.
And I'd like to talk to you boys about that.
Yeah, good.
Okay. For a minute. We have just a minute. No, go ahead. The first one is Javanka. What's that about?
Well, of course, it's about Jared and Ivanka and their latest business undertaking. Because why be in the White House if you can't make a little cash on the side?
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's a very good point.
That's certainly our philosophy here at Spokane Public Radio as well. Why have your own radio show, Men in Charge, if you can't somehow profit off of it?
And rake in those big dollars.
Exactly.
It's part of being in the public trust to make some money on the side, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
It is. It is.
And what is Ivanka's product? Is it what we think it is?
It's a nice, tepid mug of an unholy brew.
Yeah. Tepid is exactly right.
Tepid, I think, is the word we ought to go with.
In fact, with those two, I'm surprised it's not white coffee.
Isn't it white coffee?
It is white coffee.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Well, kind of an off-white, of a dingy white.
I got to start reading the scripts before I talk about them.
And after Javanka, we have Bad Advice. Tell us where Bad Advice came from and what's that about?
Well, bad advice came from the idea that advice columns really don't answer the problem at hand. Mm-hmm. And so why pretend? Mm-hmm. Why pretend at all? Let's just make it full frontally bad.
I really enjoyed the script because I always feel like what advice columns mainly do is point out the failings of the person who wrote in the first place. And what you're really doing here is distracting from that and just setting them on a course mainly to destruction or disaster.
Yeah, to make the bad condition just a lot worse.
Yeah, yeah.
So nimbly done.
And then, Anne, you wrote up a fictionalized version of Tony's recent vacation. Tony, I think, ran off to Hawaii and left the rest of us here in the muck. But in your version, he's running with the corgis.
He is running with the corgis. And unfortunately, he's in Wales and not Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
I get those confused, too.
That's punishment enough.
That's what comes from not reading the scripts.
that's true. I got to start reading the scripts. Ladies and gentlemen, in this new year, I'm going to make my New Year's pledge today. I will start reading the scripts before we talk about them on Men in Charge.
And the corgis, what do?
Tony, as you recall, because it happened to you.
That's right. Yeah. But I'm seeing a therapist as a result. What do they do? What did the corgis do?
You got gored by the corgis. Yeah.
Gored by the corgis. And this is an orange spray tan.
This is a large, plump, spray tanned corgi.
That's a little vain and status anxious?
Very status anxious.
And wants two pieces of chocolate cake, which dogs should not eat.
No, Dad, don't be feeding your dog chocolate cake.
Or the extra scoop of ice cream.
Now, Anne, you've additionally humiliated Tony and I, mainly Tony, by actually creating a couple of reoccurring characters, too, right? Betty Bunch, who is in our commercial.
Yes, and why am I here if I can't humiliate the both of you?
Yeah, well, you've done a fine job of that.
Thank you.
What is Betty Bunch promoting in Betty Bunch Pepper Spray?
Betty Bunch is promoting a special household pepper spray for the important people in your life so that you can really spread the love.
Yeah, and get rid of guests all the more quickly.
Yes.
So it's what we call a hostile deodorizer.
You could call it that.
Yeah. I have to ask, where did you get the idea for Betty Bunch pepper spray?
Well, of course, from reading the newspaper. And how can we not think of absurd things every morning when we read the newspaper?
That's true.
Finally, we have this really disturbing episode with a new character named Dean Sweeney. This first segment is called Dean Sweeney, Part-Time Lothario. Who is Dean Sweeney?
Poor Dean. Poor Dean. He suffers so terribly.
Doesn't he live with his mom?
He lives with his mom, and he really wants to find a girlfriend. Uh-huh. And he's just maybe not up to par in the whole romance department.
Yeah, well, when you have your mom, like, feeding you lines, you know, to pick somebody up, I think that's probably about as low as you can fall.
It is. But have you encountered a lot of Dean Sweeneys in your path through womanhood?
Well, who doesn't?
I've kept clear of them myself, but I would have thought that you would have drawn them to you.
Well, I think, didn't have a path through womanhood.
Mm-hmm. Mine was a slow path through womanhood. I don't think I made it the whole way. Kevin, did you?
Well, I wasn't part of that, but I did befriend many Dean Sweeneys because after you borrow enough money from one friend, they won't loan it to you anymore, so you just make friends with anybody. That's me. That's what I
do. Yeah, that's a great way to form a bond with someone, borrow money.
Yeah.
But you dealt with your Dean Sweeneys in a firm, emphatic way?
I did. We can't have too many Dean Sweeneys running around. It's just trouble.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it does get to be the worst. I've been told. I don't know.
Well, so listener, here it is, the all-Anne episode. Enjoy the fact that Tony and I did not write any of these sketches and that Anne Porter did. Thanks, Anne. We feel about 1 inch tall right now.
That big?
Yeah. I think from now on, when Anne writes a script for us, we should just solve the problem by not giving her credit. Good idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey.
Greetings, listener. You wake up in the morning and your taste buds are calling out for an all-American brew. Something weak and tasteless, yet surprisingly bitter. That's right. You want a steaming cup of Jovanka. But don't take it from me, Betty Bunch. Instead, let's hear from one of the impossibly pale stockholders of the Silver Spoon line of executive beverages.
Hi, I'm Jared Kushner from Silver Spoon Beverages, and I'm here in the Men in Charge Test Kitchens conferring with the in-house chef, Betty Bunch.
Oh, thanks, Jared. I'm proud to say that I think we've come up with a nice lukewarm morning beverage that will really put some hair on your chest. Well, maybe not in everybody's case, Jared, but it never hurts to try.
Thanks a lot, Betty. Let's move on, though, because nothing is a better start to your day of political gamesmanship or...
or high-level entrepreneurial negotiation.
What a nice surprise. Joining us right now is Ivanka Trump.
Oh, I've been here all along.
That's right. She's been over there looking in her makeup mirror.
Ivanka, my little kitten, there's not enough contrast for people to see you if you stand in front of that off-white wall.
Don't say wall. Back to what I was trying to say, please. Thanks to the Men in Charge Test Kitchens.
That's me, Betty Bunch.
Hey, can I talk? Thanks to the Test Kitchens and Silver Spoon Beverages, you can now order
Is this stuff fattening?
Honey, can I finish? This elite beverage...
I'm afraid that's all the time we have.
Hey!
That's all the time we have to talk about the latest offering from Silver Spoon Beverages. Tune in later today when we talk to Jared and Ivanka about their gourmet snack item that pairs so nicely with a tepid mug of Chivanka, Pork Barrel brand bologna on white bread.
Chip Polenta here. I'm Men in Charge's ace radio reporter, reporting the latest reports. Today, I'll be interviewing a fellow journalist from the Daily Newspaper. That's right. I'm here with Lower Heights Moose Bugler's most trenchant feature writer, Lydia Lovelace. Lydia is writing the Bugler's newest column, Bad Advice. So tell me, Lydia, there are plenty of advice columns out there. What is it about bad advice that makes it so special?
Thanks for asking, Chip. You're right. There are plenty of advice columns out there, and most of them offer bad advice. They just don't admit it. On top of that, they don't ever go far enough.
Are you saying that the advice isn't as bad as it ought to be?
That's how I see it, Chip. If you're offering tepid words of encouragement to someone desperate enough to seek solace from a newspaper, well, they've come to the wrong place, and you have no way of knowing what the proper thing to say actually is. My basic premise is perfectly clear right from the start. The advice I dole out is no good.
No good?
Nope. It's lousy. So, Chip, let me share a few letters, and I'll show you how this works. This one is from Sobbing in Sheboygan. Dear Bad Advice Demon, I threw in the demon after the second column. Nice, huh? Dear Bad Advice Demon, I have been living with my girlfriend
for 6 months. I pay the rent, I buy the groceries, and I give her spending money besides. She yells at me all the time, claims that I don't do enough for her, and she is threatening to leave me. Signed, Sobbing in Sheboygan.
Dear Sobbing, give her more money. Who are you to say that you've done enough? Clearly, you've made the sweet little thing unhappy. Best wishes, Bad Advice Demon.
But Lydia, you've given terrible advice. That girlfriend is taking advantage.
Exactly, Chip. Thanks for that. Here's another one. Dear Bad Advice Demon, My 13-year-old daughter, Bibi,
just moved in with her Aunt Judy, and the two of them hang out in pool halls, tattoo parlors, and beer joints. Bibi's school keeps calling me about her truancy and bad behavior, but neither Judy nor Bibi will return my phone calls. What do I do now? Signed, Wits End in Wenatchee.
Oh, my goodness. Lydia, that's just awful. What did you say?
Well, Chip, here's my advice. Dear Wits End, first, just stop picking up when the school calls about the absences. What you don't know can't hurt you. Well, mostly. Second, Bibi probably needs some spending money. Make sure she gets some. Third, I want Judy's phone number. I've been looking for a new place. Signed, Bad Advice Demon.
Oh, no. Lydia, that poor child. Poor Bibi.
Poor child? Ha! As it turns out, she still has Judy's only spare bedroom, and I'm living over the Lower Heights Corner Mart and Quick Liquor. At least that means I get to see them a lot.
Good to know, Lydia.
I guess we have time for one more letter.
Great, Chip. Here's one from Lonely Boy in Lower Heights. Dear Bad Advice Demon,
my last girlfriend got mad at me and locked me in the storage closet in the basement for no reason. All I did was to ask her to get up at 4 so she could get her housework done before she went to work. It doesn't make sense for her to get so huffy. I like to think of myself as a man in demand, but her hurtful ways have left me hesitant to start a new relationship. I'm all out of clean clothes, and my mom is tired of fixing my lunches. Help! I need a new little cutie in my life. Signed, Lonely Boy in Lower Heights.
What a creep! Why would any woman in her right mind spend time with that loser? Oh, here's your response.
Hey, Chip! That's my letter! Give it back!
Dear Lonely Boy from Lower Heights, it's clear that you need a real woman to show you how it's done. Stop by the Lower Heights Corner Mart and Quick Liquor after 10 tonight, and let's...
Hey, Chip! That's enough. I want my letter back.
Okay, take your letter and...
We're done here.
Lonely, honey, let's go back to the Corner Mart.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have today. Tune in next time as part-time writing instructor Dan Blanche shares curated home decorating and personal style tips for college adjuncts leading the high life.
Greetings, listener. We all know that most professors spend their holiday breaks close to campus, basking in the glow of student papers and next semester's class preparation. However, today, I'm recording this in Wales at Our Lady of Perpetual Shedding Medical Center and Boarding Kennel. I'm here to visit my Men in Charge co-host, Tony. For his holiday break, Tony flew to Wales for the annual running of the Corgis. Mayhem ensued, and now it's my job to see to his injuries and assist him on his flight back to Lower Heights. So tell me, Tony, what happened?
I was gored. Gored by a rogue corgi. There were warnings. These dogs pay no attention to the rule of law. They try to cover up their dirty deeds, and they're so excited to have kennel access to wealthy and powerful corgis that... they engage in an awful lot of submissive peeing. The really orange one at the head of the pack... Pookie. Pookie did it.
Wait, you're telling me that you were gored by a corgi named Pookie?
I think it was him. Some of his spray tan rubbed off as he went by.
Tony, that's terrible. It's time for Pookie to pay the price for being such a bad dog. He's an embarrassment to the entire kennel.
It wasn't just him. He was followed by a litter of his pups, or mostly followed anyway. Some of them seemed a little confused. And there were other dogs, nipping and yapping. No one made it out unscathed. Must rest, must.
He's not the only one, you know. There are plenty of us injured by that pack of Pookies. We all thought it was going to be fun and games. A few dog treats, a little running around... there was money to be made.
You mean you were injured by the rogue corgis, too?
They seemed to be everywhere. And the little pups, trying to be just as mean as the big one. I don't even want to talk about what they did to the newspapers. They got to everybody on this floor of the hospital.
They got to me, too. It was so horrible.
This can't go on. Who's in charge here?
Visiting hours are over. We don't like troublemakers on the Pookie floor.
Wait, I'm here to take care of Tony.
Tony should have been nicer to Pookie. There are a lot of us who think that. Pookie was just doing what corgis do.
Goring people? How big is this corgi?
Slow down. Our veterinary general says he's height/weight proportionate.
I've got to see this monster.
Kennels are one floor down, just off the ICU. Okay. I'll take you.
A corgi hotel right here in the hospital? Isn't that a conflict of interest or something? And everything here is gold. The wallpaper, the chain link, the dog dishes. The pooper scoopers, they're gold too.
It's the way Pookie likes it. It matches his spray tan. Right there, behind the bucket of KFC. Here's his pookiness.
This is the one who has done all the damage? He's so unimpressive.
Shh. He might hear you over the sound of his TV.
What's that he's watching? Pox and Phlegm?
Where else do you think he gets all his ideas?
Well, listeners, that's all the time we have to hear about the Men in Charge Christmas break adventures. Tune in next time when we'll hear Tony say,
I think I'll stay safe next holiday season and take that shark dentistry workshop instead.
Greetings, listener. I'm proud to reintroduce the fabulous, famous Betty Bunch for Men in Charge Test Kitchens. She's here to tell you about a great new product. Come on in, Household Pepper Spray.
Oh, thank you, Men in Charge. I'm stopping by with my 13-year-old daughter, Bibi, and today we're going to preview my new Household Pepper Spray. Have you had enough? Have you had enough of those floral-scented air fresheners with the chemical overtones? I know I have. And Bibi, my little sweetheart, I can tell you have too. Such a smart little kitten. We here at the Test Kitchens had decided to eliminate those unnecessary artificial floral scents and go straight for the noxious odors.
Yeah, noxious.
That's right, Bibi, my little dumpling. Men in Charge is now introducing Come On In Household Pepper Spray for when the idea of coming home puts a tear in your eye.
Boo, hoo, hoo.
Right again, Bibi. Just think of the opportunities for using this great new product. In-laws coming over? That's right. It'll be a dinner party they'll never forget.
Aunt Judy says she's never coming back.
Oh, Judy always was a fussy one. Not right for your in-laws. Well, use our pepper spray to freshen up the atmosphere as you wait in line in public places. Just think, a frisky little spritz at the DMV, and you'll find that the line seems shorter, or might actually be shorter.
Ha! Huh, they still haven't let you back to get your license.
Oh, don't you worry about a little thing, little Bibi. I hardly ever get pulled over. Are you a little worry-ward about driving without your license? Not to worry, listener. There are many, many other uses. For instance, nothing says welcome to our country like, come on in, household pepper spray. That's right. It's the favorite air freshener for ICE agents all along our southern border. Doesn't it make you proud to know that it's an American-made product that welcomes desperate women and children to our country?
I'm afraid that's all the time we have for our Betty Bunch's Men in Charge Test Kitchen. Tune in next time to learn about Betty's next new product.
Oh, you betcha, Tony. We've got embroidered space blankets for that homey touch while you're sleeping in chain link enclosures. Available in an array of designer colors.
And we hear Bibi say,
I'm gonna live with Aunt Judy. She has better tattoos.
And now it's time to check in with Chris Chatwell, Men in Charge's investigative radio reporter on stuff we think women care about. Today, Chris interviews Dean Sweeney, part-time Lothario.
I'm Chris Chatwell, ACE radio reporter. Today I'm out in the field visiting with Dean Sweeney from the Cyber Shed, which is some sort of computer store right here in Lower Heights at the dingy end of Main Street.
Hey, thanks for that, sweetheart. Dean Sweeney here, man about town, but I'm not just a hit with the ladies. I'm also assistant manager here at the Cyber Shed, your one-stop shop for hardware and software from everywhere. If you've got a question, we've got the answer. If your computer makes you sad, we can make you glad. If you...
Yeah, Dean, I think we all get the idea. How lovely that it rhymes. It's just so great. So tell me, what can the folks coming into your business expect?
Well, Chrissy, sweetheart.
Don't keep calling me sweetheart.
Oh, no problem, little missy Chrissy. Aside from being the man in demand, I...
It's Chris. Just Chris. And do you always wear three different kinds of plaid?
I'm a guy with a strong fashion sense. No need to worry about me, honey. I use designer duct tape on my glasses. Instead, let's talk about what I can do for you. Remember, I'm the tech wizard you can depend on to solve all your computer problems, and I'll even make house calls. When the lady has a problem, I am the solution. When the computer makes you cry, I'll stop by. When the...
I don't think a visit to my house will ever be necessary.
Huh. So, sounds like we meet at the Dewdrop Inn instead.
Say, is that smell coming from the cheese factory next door? Or is that cologne? Could you maybe take a step or two back?
Overwhelmed by my masculine aura?
I'm sure that's it. Golly, maybe we ought to keep moving so that you can show me around the store. Don't you want me to describe it to our listeners?
Oh, Dean! Dean, honey! I brought you lunch! Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt, miss. It's just that my boy Dean always forgets his lunch.
No, please, go right ahead, ma'am.
Ooh, call me Mrs. S. All Dean's little friends call me that.
Mom.
Now, Dean, no deviled eggs this time. You know they give you gas. Last Christmas dinner? Well, we don't need to say more, do we?
Mom.
And there's only one little Debbie cake this time, honey. I'm tired of sewing the waist button back onto your pants. A little bit of trimming off the tummy never hurts.
Mom, I've told you, please don't pat my fat at work.
Sensitive. Well, time for you to get back to work, mister. Ooh, I almost forgot. Here, I found your breath mints that were in my purse. Don't be late for dinner. You know Daddy hates that.
Well, Mr. Sweeney, shall we continue with our tour?
Right, sure. Here we are in the showroom. We've got laptops, TVs, and appliances. Back here, let me get my keys. We've got our stock room.
After you, Dean.
Sure, you betcha. Could you hold the door while I move this box and get the light?
Sure thing.
Chrissy, could you open the door for me, honey? Chrissy? Chrissy, honey?
This is Chris Chatwell, investigative radio reporter for Men in Charge, signing off. Tune in next week when I'll drop in on Edna May's Sewing Circle and Arms Emporium, where we'll hear the origin of her slogan, "Our guns will keep you in stitches."
Well, before we go, shouldn't you at least thank the cast?
We don't enjoy that because, no. As you know, we like to take credit, but in this case, we will. We'd like to thank our cast, Nisha Schramm, Ann Porter, Kevin Decker, Tony Flynn, and Kate Lebo.
And we'd like to thank the four people who, if they cut one corner of a quad corner hat off, make a tricorn hat: Carrie Boyce, Vern Windham, Nisha Schramm, and the man who waits in vain for Men in Charge's All Brian episode, Brian Lindsay.